You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Fred Mills, Carmelette Rifkin, Amy Jones. Today, we've got a subject that I know you'll like. We're debating the best and worst drummers in music.
Everybody loves a drummer, and it's interesting how Carol probably knows all these bluegrass drummers that just kick butt.
All of them. All two of them.
We could
brushes on a snare.
we could talk for weeks just on jazz drummers. I mean, so many great ones. I mean, Max Roach, you know, Buddy Rich, and everything. But rock drummers, somehow, the fact that there are drummer jokes would suggest that maybe the drummer just doesn't get some like he should, you know. So let's give the drummer some. I mean, I'll just rattle off some of my favorites. I mean, Keith
Moon. Which is ironic, Fred, because, you know, the rhythm and bass is the heart of the band.
Absolutely.
So it's funny that it's like always, you know, you could just replace the drummer at the drop of a hat.
It don't
drop
mean
of
a swing if it ain't got that thing, baby.
Yes, you better believe it. And I have to say, I think the drummer is largely, you know, makes up the meat of that backbone.
It's one of the most difficult instruments.
Absolutely.
So why does the drummer not get as much respect? I mean, the rock era, granted, did bring drummers more into prominence when you had Ginger Baker doing a 20-minute drum solo, which also created the whole genre of drum solo jokes, but I mean, I'm a rock and roll guy from the core, so Keith Moon probably imprinted the whole notion of the great demonstrative flailing yet very focused rock drummer. I mean, over the years, I mean, think about some of the greats, though. Al Jackson from the MGs, Clyde Stubblefield with James Brown, the funky drummer, man, Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick. I don't know if people mention him that often, but he was just a powerhouse. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And you're right, Amy, I think that without the drummer, I mean, it's like, you know, what would the drummer be? The transmission, the carburetor, without the drummer, the vehicle.
I mean, can you imagine someone else besides Stuart Copeland and the Police?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, bringing all that combining that rock, that reggae, that sort of, you know, I mean, they brought a whole new sound together. Largely in part to what he did on the drums, I think.
I remember seeing an interview with Steve Shelley of Sonic Youth, and it was amazing. He was being interviewed, and he was like at a kitchen table or something, and he was tapping a rhythm with his foot. He was tapping a different rhythm with his hand on the table and doing the interview at the same time. And that's sort of the essence of the drummer, is just being able to hold all of these things in their mind at once and being able to basically direct where the music is going in a large way.
Hey, Joe, how do you get a drummer off your front porch?
How?
Pay him $10 for the pizza. you know, more recently, the whole guitar drummer, the two-man band thing became prominent. I believe Flat Duo Jets probably helped bring that into passing. And then all of a sudden, we've got the Black Keys and the White Stripes. And that brings the drummer, you know, more up front, you know, both physically and visually on stage, and then more prominent in the mix, since the drum isn't often thought of as a lead instrument. So I'm sure there are percussionists everywhere that think that was a good development.
Although Meg White's name is often bandied about as being one of the worst drummers, I think that may be partly due to the nature of the music. You know, you've always heard that Ringo Starr was a poor drummer. Well, not necessarily, because you go back especially to the early sound of the Beatles, and it's just very primitive. Like the White Stripes music.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, there might be some sexism involved with the Meg White thing. I mean, there have been some fantastic female drummers. I mean, right off the top of my head, I think of Sandy West from the Runaways. The Runaways were all-girl band, and they were thought of as a kind of a novelty. But, man, she could hit those skins. But then you get into that whole thing of, wow, she's such a good drummer for a girl. And so I have a problem with that. So you've got that double whammy of no respect for the drummer and the, you know, kind of the withering, you know, sexism that goes hand in hand. What's the old saying? Go for that rock and roll music. It's got a backbeat. You can't lose it. Well, you know, it ain't the guitarist giving the backbeat, folks. You know, so we got to give the drummer some.
There have been actually a lot of drummers in bluegrass. I mean, the Earl Scruggs Review had a drummer, and Sam Bush is, you know, and Bella Fleca. And there have been lots of times that the drum has come in and out. I mean, Emmylou Harris had a drummer in her band. I think one of my favorite drum things, and I can't remember the fellow's name, but anyone who has ever seen Dave Brubeck play Take Five has seen, like, the ultimate drum thing happen there.
Right? No, I was just going to say, you know, sort of flashing forward to, you know, some people making great music now. I mean, I think Questlove from the Roots is amazing. I mean, I there's very few things that guy can't play. And when they sort of have an all-star, did you see the Dave Chappelle showcase? He had a bunch of people. I mean, everybody from Lauryn Hill to, you know, all kinds of performers out there. Erykah Badu played. And, I mean, Questlove was just, I mean, he was at it. He was just right on top of everything everybody was playing. So,
you know, and hip-hop has had a lot to do with bringing the drummer back into prominence in one context, too, because early on they were sampling classic drum breaks like I mentioned before, the funky drummer break, and then you also had John Bonham from Led Zeppelin being sampled a lot. And then as you move forward a few years, all of a sudden these hip-hop bands have live drummers. And so that was a good development. They kind of kept that. They realized what a powerful and key component of their sound that the rhythm, the core rhythm was.
Totally, man. And one of the best shows I've seen, hands down, in this area was that Mississippi Juke Joint Caravan when that rolled through. That was R.L. Burnside and Paul Wine Jones and was it T Model Ford, or those guys were all together. And I mean, it was like the guy you went to see. I mean, R.L. Burnside was there on his, you know, guitar playing that Hill Country Blues. But I mean, the drummer was, he was like the other guy. I mean, it was like those three guys and your bassist sometimes. I mean, it was like he was, those two between the drummer and R.L. or Paul Wine Jones, or, you know, just that little trio, mostly with just those drums speaking to the guy on guitar. It was, I mean, it was like a revolution in there. You know, they ran out of beer that night.
In North Carolina band, the Annuals, I've seen them live, and they'll often play three drum kits at once. It's pretty amazing.
Hey, Joe, how many drummers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Five. One to screw the bulb in, and then four to argue about how much better the guy from Rush could have done it. Bada-boom!
Love that Rush.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. Who's your favorite drummer? Best of all time? Bad drummers? Let us know.
What's your favorite drummer joke, too?
Yeah. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Fred Mills, Carmelette Rifkin, and Amy Jones. Until next time.